Hey guys, what's up? I'm Sky.
And I'm Matt.
This is The Unpopular Opinion. Today, we're going to be talking about universal basic income, as you can see on the screen. A lot of people may not know what it's really about, or they may have their opinions already set. That's fine. This is all about a casual conversation over controversial topics. So, let's get this thing started, bro.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
As far as I know, what I found was basically that was too much. Holy crap. Basically, the basic definition, right? And I got this off of Investopedia if you guys want to know where, is basic income is for every citizen, and it's in order to bring poverty levels, make poverty level go up. Right?
Essentially, right? Yeah.
So bring the amount of poverty down. That's what I was trying to say. Bring the amount of poverty down.
Right. Lower the poverty.
Cool.
Percentage. Right.
The differences, I guess, that I've seen is in Yang's proposal is the whole, well, what if we just don't do – we don't give it to everybody, and it'll be if you already have government aid.
Right.
Then you won't necessarily get this full $1,000 a month or whatever, right?
Right. The freedom dividend, as he calls it.
The freedom dividend. Yeah. Interesting. So the thing is that I would assume – I'm a middle-class guy, and I'm thinking, well, that means – more for me in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially.
More for us. And, yeah, you know,
those,
everyone.
He's thinking, I think, those who can handle the money correctly and are going to spend it the way is best for the economy, that's who he's aiming. He's not going to give it to the rich people who are just going to put it in their savings account. He's not going to give it to those who can't handle an extra $1,000 a month.
Or see, that are gonna and I guess my thing is that I don't know if America is ready for that anyway. I mean, the thing is that everyone lives, you know, they say you either meet or exceed your means, right?
So absolutely, yeah. Like, it's an American mentality to live beyond your means. And
right. And yeah. So we've talked a little bit about this already, but I think that you're just going to add something to your
budget.
House or your budget or whatever. Yeah. You know, you're gonna get another car that's better, maybe spend more on it now that you have an extra $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily the best idea.
And that doesn't stimulate the economy, buying a BMW over buying a Mazda. That does nothing for the economy. You see what I'm saying? It does something for BMW. BMW salesman's happy, but
okay. But let's pretend it's two American companies, right?
Okay.
If it's two American companies,
Cadillac and Chevy.
They're almost the same car.
I was
right?
gonna say.
Interesting. What are you gonna do? That's good. So, but my thing is that it's like if you got a raise, right? If you got a raise. And you don't ever really save that extra money. I mean, smart people might. Like, really good people with their money might.
The thing is, if you save 10% of your salary, that 10% could have been, you know, $50 a week or whatever it was, and now it's $60 a week or whatever your raise is, whatever your percentage is.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah, but most people don't even do that. They end up spending that extra money on...
Exactly.
You know, and that's
BS.
Tough.
Yeah.
So what are the other things like, man, I can't think of anything really that's good. Well, everyone's question, right? So where does this money come from?
Oh, yeah. Taxing corporations is the short answer.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to raise the corporate tax rate, or you're going to cut out a lot of corporate loopholes, which I think that's not a bad thing, cutting out corporate loopholes and just making everything a little bit more even.
Right, because I've seen all these articles. Amazon paid zero taxes, which I'm not going to get into that. I have a quarrel with that amount of – the amount of media that is just blatantly wrong and will lie to the people is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the show. That's the point of the show.
Right.
But yes, corporations do have a lot of availability for like loopholes, and they are able to – you know, get around a lot of the taxes. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Amazon didn't pay a lot of taxes is a true thing. I'm not sure how you would – you don't retaliate to that. Just change your tax system.
Mm-hmm.
So how – let's pretend that we were able to figure out a way to retaliate. The government was able to do it.
Right.
What would they do first?
Man, if I was the tax man, right? If I was in charge of implementing taxes, I would just say, look, Amazon, you got to pay 10% of your revenue. Whatever your revenue is, 10% goes to the federal government.
Interesting. Why? See, my problem is that we already have.
Or I guess the corporate tax rate is what, 21% now? So
if 21%, we say, I know, but if we say like you're where we're on this whole thing where universal basic income would be supplied by corporations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we already have corporations like leaving, right?
Oh yeah.
They don't work here.
Mm-hmm. That's because that's honestly a lot of that has to do with our labor rate. Our labor rate's pretty high compared to other countries.
So, okay. And if I
open up a factory in Zimbabwe, I pay them $3 an hour.
Right.
And they're happy with that.
Now, I'd say the new reason for this universal basic income idea, as far as I've seen and read and all this, right, I am the consumer here. Andrew Yang has a plan in place like this because of technology and automation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, we lost 50,000 jobs or whatever, you know, and then he backs it up by saying we're going to have more lost and the automation's crazy and blah, blah, whatever. Is it different than the industrial age? That's my first question. And the second thing would be, I mean, I'm not sure where he gets the numbers, I guess.
You know? So I don't think it's much different than the Industrial Revolution. I mean, there's Industrial Revolution and there's the Technological Revolution that we're experiencing today. I don't think there's a huge difference in those two, like, economic phenomena. But I think in the short term, UBI could be a little bit helpful if let's say you have a two-parent household, one of the parents loses their job to a robot. Which, anyway, let's say one of those parents loses his job to a robot, and they get
like Jetsons, guys.
They get that $12,000 a month. I mean, that's not going to make up for your job. That's what unemployment, Social Security, and welfare are for. So this UBI, I feel like, is just kind of a.
It's just another one of those, right? It's just another thing.
Okay. Exactly.
So, interesting. I would say that I agree. Like in times of crisis. We have unemployment,
mm-hmm.
right? Or we have food stamps and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are Americans that rely on that. Not really sure. Not really my place to judge somebody, I guess. But
yeah.
Then why can't we, you know, you say, well, why can't we implement it like short term or something? Why can't we do that?
Because once the government implements something, it's there forever. You know, I mean, think about Social Security. FDR wanted that to be maybe a 5-year plan during the Depression to help pull people up by their bootstraps and get them back to work. And it's still around today. And now it's causing huge amounts of debt. I mean, we have what, $20 trillion in debt? And that's owing to other countries like China. But in unfunded liabilities, we have closer to $100 trillion in debt in unfunded liabilities. And that's us owing the baby boomers Medicare and Social Security because their population is so high, baby boomer population is so high compared to, you know, Gen X or millennial populations, which are much, much lower because we developed more. So there's less people paying into Social Security now than there was back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And so that's why it's kind of gone upside down and it's going broke real fast.
Yeah, less people having kids. Mm-hmm. Less babies popping out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Birth control and abortion.
Wow.
Huge factors.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's another topic. Okay. But yeah, not doing that. Interesting. So so far I was just kind of thinking, I mean, you hear this thing and it's like sounds better than maybe the normal definition. You're like, "Oh wow, free money," you know? And you're thinking, yeah. "Heck yeah." Why wouldn't I want that?
And on the surface, it sounds like a really good idea. Like, oh yeah, tax corporations that aren't paying anything anyway. So that's a fair on its face. And then give it to people that are just going to stimulate the economy and help grow the middle class, expand the middle class. And they're gonna spend the money on more whatever, food, right? And more diapers food and stuff like that.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
save a little bit more. And.
And then Andrew Yang even said his example was, I mean, he might go out one night or he might, you know, spend a little more here or there or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, going out is a good thing. It reduces stress, makes you more productive long term, and it's good for bars and bartenders.
Exactly. Well, that also helps the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't see how we would incentivize a corporation to do that, first of all.
Well, you'd have to make it law.
We have to make it law. And that's insane to me, right? Isn't that, would that be against capitalism?
I mean, not necessarily. We tax corporations right now anyway. They're just finding loopholes around corporate tax
rate. And you're thinking they, well, see, and I guess
because they're mostly internet based.
We might think they could think of another loophole, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm more in favor of just rather than implementing new taxes, just do away with corporate tax loopholes. Yeah,
and it's interesting. Why is it so hard for us to? I don't get it. It's so hard to get rid of stuff. It's so hard to
absolutely. That's I mean, yeah, big government is. It's almost like putting ink on paper. Like once it's down, you can't erase it. It's there.
They treat everything like it's like the freaking declaration. You know, it's like this is it, man. This is the one.
And I mean, special interests are fighting to keep those loopholes in place. You know, Amazon's got lobbyists all up and down Washington. Of course they do, right? So
but like,
what are you gonna do? And that's the thing. That's what Andrew Yang would have to fight. He would have to fight all of those special interests and all of those corporatists that won't allow their corporations to be taxed more. And then he would also have to fight for UBI. You know, he'd have to lobby Congress, you know, every which way, because not everybody's for UBI. Not everybody understands it either. So
that's what we're trying to aim to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
You specifically. Yeah. Okay, so how is it different than, like, so another thing Yang mentioned was Alaska, right? He compared it to Alaska. For 37 years, they've done the same type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's been state-funded. It's a state-funded basic income, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they take money from oil companies. Alaska, the state of Alaska, takes money from oil companies, and then they give it to their citizens as part of, like, a universal basic income type of deal. But that may work for Alaska, and I'm all in favor of states trying that out, but the federal government's a different animal, beast entirely.
I agree with that, and that's another thing we should talk about, is the fact that why can't states implement more things, or why don't they, or do we not hear about it, you know? Like,
yeah, that's the thing is
they could if they wanted to be like universal basic income for Texas or universal basic income for California.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, yeah, they could do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of our country, is that states can try those things, and if they don't work out, it's only that state that's got to deal with it.
Yeah.
If it does work out, other states try it, it becomes a regional thing, and then it can become a national thing.
Interesting. Do you know if there's anything different besides the conditional income, basically, is what Yang's, you know, conditional basic income is what he's trying to. Anything different that's about it? Is it all basically the same definition by book? Is he basically doing the same thing?
I mean, yeah, it's Robin Hood. It's take from the rich, give to the poor.
Okay, interesting. And people say, like, well, it's another socialistic thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily disagree, I guess. I don't really know, but we already have things in place like that, mm-hmm. do we? I
mean,
we
yeah,
do,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
It's just like, no, I'm not saying we should have it, but, man, we just need to get rid of all their stuff. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way to do that. But anyway, Alaska's done it, like I was going to say, and they get it from the oil companies, and that's just how it works. It just works that way, and it's been law, and that's what you said. We have to make it law, right?
Mm-hmm.
The state would have to make it law, and it would just have to happen like that. What are the repercussions down the road? Like, let's say that this happens, and you were able to do that corporate tax.
Well, in Scandinavian countries, they've implemented UBI, and they did, and then they kind of backtracked a little bit. I think it was Norway implemented it, and they found that a lot of people were quitting their jobs and then just doing part-time work.
Right.
So, it decreased their GDP, their productivity as a country.
Right.
So, I mean, even if only half the people do that, or a third of the people who are on UBI quit their job and go to part-time, I mean, that's a lot of full-time jobs that are just gone.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it would do the opposite of what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it decentivizes work no matter how you implement it,
yeah,
or what you do.
Yeah, you can give anybody money.
Because there's, like, Andrew Yang wants to do work requirements, which is makes sense. You can't just sit on your butt and get $1,000 a month. So you got to have a job. You got to work 30 hours a week or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, well, I work 60 hours a week, and this $1,000 will make up for that. So I'll have the same income, but I'll work less. A lot of people have that attitude.
Right. Depending on your job, 30 hours might be $1,000. Mm-hmm. Not sure what job you have. You know what I mean? Like, it could happen.
Yeah. Right?
Like, people that work at regular jobs won't want to do that anymore. I almost feel like maybe that happened already, but whatever. Not really sure. The other thing, okay, automation, we can talk more about that. So,
mm-hmm.
how far even are we really out of that? Because Andrew Yang, again, you know, we're using him. He's literally the icon.
Well, I mean, he's right? the 2020 he's presidential the candidate that's his main right. platform.
And I guess
is UBI,
people,
so.
See, it's interesting. Yeah, I've never even heard of this system until I heard his interview with Joe Rogan.
I've heard of it, but I've always just been like, oh, that'll never gain any traction.
You just think, oh, no way, right?
And now he's.
He's gaining traction.
I mean,
traction,
he's on,
right?
in every debate. You know what I mean? He's really gaining traction.
Here's what I'll say. But the turning point for me, right? So I'm not saying I believe it or want it or whatever. I'm not really for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, I guess it kind of seems like maybe not for the long term. But he was talking to Joe Rogan, and he's like, whenever he literally laid down the conditions, I was like, oh,
mm-hmm.
my guy. Because it appeals to the middle class.
Yeah.
It was just appealing to me, but I wasn't thinking long term.
Yeah.
So long term repercussions and all that. But, automation. Let's talk about that. So automation. How far are we really out? He was talking about like semis being like automated, right? And sure, mm-hmm. there's a Tesla semi, I guess.
Yeah, level 5 automation.
How much does it cost?
Here, I think the new Tesla semi is like $250,000, like 250.
And a normal semi is probably around there.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's much more expensive. I mean, think about Tesla in the car world. There's probably an upper.
There is no. I'm not saying they can't do it. I guess that makes sense. I don't know how many companies are going to adopt this whole.
Well, the thing is with the Tesla truck, just to play devil's advocate, I like Tesla a lot, but with their trucks,
yeah.
I mean, electric cars have 90% less moving parts, so the maintenance on them is like way cheaper. I mean, you pay for brakes and tires.
On the Tesla cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brakes,
sure.
brakes and tires. Cool.
Yeah, no
coolant
doubt.
System, if that ever acts up. But
yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
But as far as automation goes, I don't think Andrew Yang, when he was on Joe Rogan, said 5 to 10 years, 3.5 million trucker jobs are going to be gone. Okay. Well, that's, I don't think so. I think that, you know, the Department of Transportation, both federally and at the state level, they're going to say, look, you got to have a supervisor in the vehicle. You know, someone's got to be in it to make sure, you know, if the roads are snowy and the truck can't see the lines on the road, you got to be in it to drive. You know what I mean? You got to be ready to go. Because the trucking companies, the transportation companies are not going to want to stop just because there's a bad road or bad weather or whatever else.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? The whole point of having an electric truck that does itself is to be able to go more than 14 hours or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the max right now, right? 14 hours. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. I honestly, I guess no one really thinks about the snowy roads or whatever. What's up, Toasters? My name's Sky, and I'm the producer of this podcast. The truth is, we're not really that famous, and honestly, I think I like it that way. But we can't always get what we want. And I know in order to succeed at informing people on controversial topics such as this, it's going to take a lot of support from you guys, the real MVPs. So if you could do your broskies over here at Toasty Creations a favor and subscribe to any of the content we create that you enjoy, that'd be the best thing that's happened to me all day. Probably. In fact, if you get 10 people to subscribe to my content, let us know, because you might even get some sweet Toasty swag. If you don't like it, though, please don't do it. As a guy on a mission trying to make the world a better and more informed place, I want to earn that like and that subscribe. Oh, one last thing, people. Don't be shy. We want your feedback, so email me or tweet me with the links provided in the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. All right, and we're back.
We're live, we're here.
Turns out, yeah, this is real life.
Oh, okay.
3D.
Well, I'm back.
I'm
out of space.
This show would be nothing without due diligence.
Right.
Okay? And the fact is, the facts were wrong. So, let's lay down some real facts straight from Andrew Yang's website real quick.
Yes, yang2020.com.
I don't know, man. I don't want to be that media guy that's incorrect.
We don't want a bunch of comments below that say like, actually, you're wrong.
Correct.
This
yeah, I don't want that. That's not how we. That's
no,
not how
let's
we
just
roll.
Be right from the beginning.
Sure.
Okay. So real quick, who would get the freedom dividend in Andrew Yang's plan? Okay, that's This is straight from the website. So, quote, every U.S. citizen over the age of 18 would receive $1,000 a month, regardless of income or employment status, free and clear and no jumping through hoops. Yes, this means you and everyone you know would receive a $1,000 check a month, every month, starting in January 2021. Okay, first off, if he gets inaugurated in January 20th, 2021... they're not going to be able to just implement that day one. That's just silly.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. That doesn't make any sense. What would you do with $1,000 a month on top of whatever you make now? Let's find out. Okay, that's silly. Okay.
Dang! Okay. So, yeah. Wow.
How would we pay for it? So, what he wants to do, long story short, is a value-added tax, which we don't have in this country at all right now. It's in Europe.
Well, what is that? What is a value-added tax?
It's a national sales tax. So, Investopedia says, I'm paraphrasing here, but...
Dude, Investopedia is my guy.
It's
dude.
Awesome. It's essentially... Okay, let's say you make TVs. You as a TV manufacturer, you have to pay a tax, a value-added tax, on each of the components that make up the TV. And then the consumer pays another value-added tax on the TV itself. And it's invisible. It's not on the receipt. So
yeah, but why? I don't understand how that would work. What do you tax? It's a value-added, but what value? You're literally just adding to the cost?
If the COG is $4, it's going to be $4.20, and the 20 cents goes to the government. And there's no... No, okay, let's just say it's $10, and the value-added tax is 10%. I think that's what Andrew Yang wants to implement is 10%, which, of course, that's only going to increase over time to pay for more stuff. So that 10%, that $10 COG is now going to cost $11, and that dollar goes to the government. So instead of the TV being, $200, it's now $245 because of all the little components that have value-added taxes built in. The company's not going to pay for that. They're going to pass it on to the consumer. So that $245 TV plus a value-added tax of 10% is going to be about $260 roughly. $265 roughly. Instead of $200. All because of a value-added tax. So the consumer pays for that extra.
Yeah, so normally it'd be 200 plus 8.25 or whatever percent, right?
So 8.25% is the Texas sales tax.
Is Texas sales tax. So every state has their own sales tax, right? Great, cool. Mm-hmm. So you're paying $200 plus sales tax and then plus this value-added tax.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is sales tax is on your receipt.
You can see it for sure.
Oh, that's the price of the TV. There's the 8.25% sales tax for Texas. Oh, that plain as day.
Well, as a business owner, I want that. I want it recorded. It's a lot easier to do your taxes for a business at the end of the year if you have that already lined up. Like, let's say you do car parts. You get car parts at wholesale, untaxed. You have to tax it at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay that. It's not like the consumer is the only one that pays that, by the way, guys. And at the end of the year, you have to pay that. I get that. It's easier to record on a receipt. So let's imagine I'm a business owner, and I'm selling car parts. Now car parts are value-added. It is just one part, but maybe they consider it. Who considers what and one component?
Exactly. So now there's going to be more government bureaucracy and oversight to handle this and that.
My thing, though, is that I'm not sure if we can just take it directly from that his website like that because I feel like it'll change. Like, I feel like he gets – if everything goes into play –
Well, Congress passes the laws, so that's the thing.
Yeah, but I feel like he'll be, like, going over and be like, okay, yeah, this can't be everybody now. Why did he say that? In Joe Rogan's podcast, he literally said if they already have government aid, they won't get as much. He said that. He said if this person gets $700 in government aid, give them $300.
I was reading the website. I didn't see any asterisks anywhere. So
what is going on here? That is not us getting the wrong facts. We listened to this Joe Rogan interview. We know it. I heard it. I watched the YouTube video. I know. Okay, I'm not saying I watched it, so it's true. It's not necessarily what I'm trying to say here, but it's interesting. So what's that's a discrepancy?
Well,
consistency.
When it comes to presidential campaigns, you really have to promise more than you can deliver.
And that's what I'm trying to say. And it's not just Andrew Yang. That's just literally politics. Everybody. Yeah. It's
even,
politics.
Even Trump was like, the corporate tax rate is going to be 50. I always rewatch the debates to see what they say and see what's true and what's not. It's really interesting. Yeah. So Trump back in the debate was like, we're going to lower the corporate tax to 15%.
Oof, now, that would be insane.
From 35%,
dude.
Right? That's a 20-point drop. But what ended up happening is that he worked with Congress. Congress was like, well, how about 25%? And he was like, no. How about no? And they settled on 21, which Trump was probably thinking that's what we're going to get anyway. So he asked, this is the art of the deal. This is all in his book. You ask for 15. You expect 2021.
Yeah, okay. Businessman tactics.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
He is just a businessman. I get that.
Yeah, you always ask for more than what you hope to get. So I think that's kind of Yang's philosophy here is, oh, it's going to be everyone all the time, no matter what, no caveats, no strings attached. In actuality, when Congress implements it,
did he just think that people that listened to Joe Rogan weren't the audience? Maybe they're just a bunch of you and me's out here, not like...
Oh, yeah. It's a bunch of... Dude, the Yang gang is probably not the most informed political group, unfortunately.
Well, okay, hold on. We can't say that. I honestly almost would say that a lot of just... I would just say people just aren't informed. Yeah. And it's not even like they're... I'm not going to say that one specific guy has these guys following. I can't do that. But I can say media as a whole doesn't inform people enough anyway. Does a terrible job of informing people. Like, let's pretend... I shouldn't have to be the American... This is interesting. I don't necessarily think that I need to be the guy that goes out and finds all this info and researches the crap out of it so that I get the facts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. And so if you have a normal Joe, average Joe guy, goes to work, comes home, turns on his TV, he's going to see crap. He's going to see literal, just not true, whatever the heck is on. It's just probably not going to be right if he's watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well,
okay. Yeah. So now, these guys that aren't informed for the Yang gang, this is obviously a rabbit shell. These guys that aren't informed for the Yang gang, I'm trying to give everyone just the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
They just have the benefit
I'm
of
the
doubt.
Opposite.
Because media
sucks. You're the benefit
sucks.
Of the doubt positive guy. I'm the realist. I'm like,
yeah, that's fine. Whatever. So,
they think it's a good idea. They probably haven't done the most research into it. Because the value-added tax is just chaos. So, real quick.
That's insane, dude. Yeah, that is. I mean, if it is the way it is, you know.
I went to the Daily Wire, which is a conservative, full disclosure, it's conservative. It's a national value-added tax. It's a national sales tax on every level of production.
So I would honestly, like, excuse me, you read it from Investopedia, right, first? I'm going to say
trust. They quoted Investopedia.
They quoted Investopedia? Mm-hmm. Okay, if they're quoting Investopedia,
and
I guess I'm okay
quotes,
with that.
Yeah.
And if you go to Investopedia's website, it's probably the same. But I that's my thing. Due diligence has got to happen.
Right.
Even from Daily Wire. But yeah, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
So
we just had to hit that up with you guys because like we were off. So
right. And another point about the value-added tax, and I found this interesting, is that it's a regressive tax. So progressive taxes are like the more income you make, the higher percentage you pay
in
taxes.
Sure, like we have now.
Because you don't need, if you make $3 million a year like Tim Cook does of Apple, you only need like maybe $1 million a year to live, right?
By the way, that was not his income, dude.
$3 million a year is his salary.
But it was compensation with salary, right? That's, mm-hmm. Isn't that what
nope,
it was?
Nope, nope,
the article you
nope.
sent me definitely nope. was compensation.
So part of it was
really?
Compensation stocks.
Yeah, yeah.
But the $3 million cash, that is his his take-home salary. Well, not take-home, but it's pre-tax salary.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would look a little bit more into that, but yeah, that's crazy.
And he got compensated on top of... Like
so,
last
full,
year,
reference, full reference for you guys. Yeah. Jeff Bezos' salary, according to 2018, was $81,000-something dollars, right? And you think, well, how is this public? How do you know? Well, corporations have to put a lot of account, like literally not a lot, every single like number they have in their company has got to be listed because they're a public company. They're mm-hmm. trading on the stock market. That's right. An SEC regulation. So that's how you figure that out. So an accountant, any old accountant, can go through their books and see that that Jeff Bezos made $81,000 with $1.6 billion in compensation.
Right.
Compensation doesn't necessarily mean money, blah, blah, whatever.
But
anyway,
he's not the CEO of Amazon, or is he just the chief shareholder?
I'm pretty sure he's the CEO.
That's what I thought. I'm not sure.
That's weird.
Obviously, every CEO is
different. I feel dumb now. But he owns 16% of Amazon.
Yeah, now Tim Cook owns a sliver of Apple, but he's just some guy. He didn't found Apple. He's not
I get that.
He's not the creative genius behind it. So he's just a guy. Now the thing is, if there's another CEO that can do a better job for $3.1 million a year, Apple's going to hire him.
Okay. Yes. So this is off topic, but yes, I was comparing the salaries as always. Give you guys a reference of who's making what in all these big tech companies.
Yeah.
But
Jeff Bezos is not going to hire somebody else to do his job.
Go back to this. What we were talking about earlier, where did we get to that? We got to that. How did we?
Progressive tax. Back on track. Progressive tax. So as you earn more income, you get taxed a higher percentage. A higher rate.
Yeah.
So, and if you're below what, 35 grand a year or something like that, you don't get taxed at all federally. You get that big refund or whatever it is, and you don't pay any taxes. So a regressive tax is the opposite, right? So,
and he was saying this is going to be regressive.
Regressive. Yes.
This is regressive.
A value added tax is a regressive tax because So according to the Carnegie Mellon professor, Alan Meltzer, average spending declines as income rises. So as you get more money, you spend less.
On the value added.
Just in general.
Yeah, because the goods you spend on. That's interesting. Wow.
Consumer spending decreases. You save more.
I thought it would mean, like when you first said it, I thought you were going to say over time, regressive tax, like it'll cut the tax slowly, like it'll be less of a tax over time, not over amount. But progressive tax is the way you just described it, so that's obvious that the opposite would just be true for the same income. It'd be based on income. I didn't think about that. Wow.
So,
okay,
a value added tax would hurt. It would hurt lower income people more than it would help them.
Yeah.
And it would hurt lower income people more than it would help. More than it would hurt higher income people.
Again, we're on the same boat, right? Because everyone's complaining. Everyone's saying that the biggest deal right now is the equality gap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think one of the ideas with this universal basic income was that it would help the equality gap. Mm-hmm. But well, especially now that we know this whole regressive tax thing. But before that, I mean, we looked at a chart that stated basically countries and what they had done with their universal basic income, or basically it was just any kind of government aid.
Yeah,
right?
as welfare spending.
Welfare spending.
Yeah, of any kind.
Based on GDP or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
A percentage of GDP.
Yep.
And it was basically saying that the more you do that, the more you lessen poverty.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
But the problem with that was what? It's you would raise the poverty line. But
exactly.
That,
so if your poverty level is at, let's just keep it simple, $35,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
You make $30,000 a year, but you get UBI, so it goes up to $42,000 a year because you get $1,000 a month. You're no longer in poverty, technically. Artificially out of poverty.
And then that rate would just raise, right? So let's
yeah.
pretend all
so
of
So is everybody
out.
Else. So is everyone around
right.
you.
And so it's interesting that
and if you
ratio.
Implement a value-added tax, not only are the prices of consumer goods going to go up, everybody else is going to be buying them too, so that's going to increase demand. So that's also going to increase prices.
Yeah.
I mean, economics 101.
Economics 101.
Yeah, it's demand goes up, price goes up.
Right. No, that is how it works. Stock market works the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we pretty much nailed it. You know, I think we covered a bunch of if not all the bases. We covered most of them.
Right.
I think for universal basic income, I guess unpopular opinion would be what for it. I guess, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't say that I'm on it or not against it or whatever the heck, but I think that what I've been told today and what I've learned past week or so have told me that long term it's probably not necessarily the solution.
Best case scenario, long term it's a wash. I give you $1,000 a month. I tax $800.
It ends up being the exact same as these. It seems like it ended up being the exact same as these other government aid.
And if everybody over the age of 18 gets it, then where's the value in that? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just gonna raise the rate of inflation even faster, which is no good. It's just printing money.
Right.
It's Keynesian economics, and Keynesian economics is the opposite of capitalism.
What is Keynesian economics?
Keynesian economics is basically the government is the solution to all of your economic woes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure that
the federal,
a lot of people in our generation would agree. Our generation. I say our generation a lot. Honestly, just people in general probably would not agree with that. I'm not sure, though.
A lot of people agree with it. Like, I mean, really? The stimulus package that President Obama passed, $700 billion, whatever it was, that was pure Keynesian economics. And what did that do?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched some other interviews from people that talk about equality of equality of
outcome?
No, versus what? Equality of what?
Opportunity.
Opportunity. Right. Equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome. Right. So heard that, and I err to the side of equality of opportunity, obviously.
Yeah. But everybody deserves an equal chance. Sure. Not everybody deserves an equal outcome.
Sure. Right.
And UBI is trying to give everybody the same outcome.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool, man. I think we killed it. I think we nailed it. I also think that next week's going to be lit. We're going to be talking about Iran, Iraq, what's going on, and what war means. And
Soleimani.
Maybe, huh?
Soleimani, the guy, the general that got whacked by Trump.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be more on board with actually knowing something next time. How about that? Cool. Mm. Yeah. Awesome. It's been fun. It's been real, policy. Dude. It hasn't been real fun. So, I hope you guys learned something. I hope you guys, have an opinion now. Maybe you have your own opinion, whatever.
Please leave us some comments. Let us know how you feel about
feedback.
It.
Feedback is how we run. That's great. We might actually, your comment might actually be mentioned. Who knows? I might do that when we might have like a special or something,
Yeah, we could do a couple comments.
This is the first episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. You guys email me at sky.td@gmail.com. You can email Matt. I don't know what your email.
You can't email me.
So only email me, right? I'll relay the questions if you ask.
I'll tell you what. I promise you guys out there, I will make an email. If you email Sky, I want him to get at least 10 emails. Just 10. That's not that many.
Not at all.
Email him 10 times. I'll create a new email for this podcast.
Or you can just tweet me. How about that? You tweet me at SkyFiSciGuy.
Yeah.
And I'll have it in the show notes or the description on YouTube or whatever. And you guys click the link because SkyFiSciGuy is kind of hard to figure out. So yeah, just tweet me hashtag unpopular opinion or TUO, either one. All right, it's been the toastiest one yet, and that's what we're gonna say. We're gonna say stay toasty. All right, guys
stay toasty.